This morning I would invite your attention to the book of the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, the Canticles, if you will. Very difficult book at times to understand if you approach it from the wrong perspective. But I believe that it's a book that has the application of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Song of Solomon, we want to look at one verse to begin with in chapter number 1, Song of Solomon chapter number 1, verse number 6. Song of Solomon chapter number 1 and verse number 6. The title of the message this morning is Neglecting Our Vineyard. Song of Solomon chapter number 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards." Now watch this last portion of verse 6. "But mine own vineyard have I not kept." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that again You would meet with us, that You would bless us with Your presence. Lord, that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, if we come into Your house and we haven't spent time preparing our hearts prior to coming in and we're not looking forward to hearing from You and being moved by You, then there really isn't any sense or purpose in being here. Lord, we want to worship You. And Lord, I just pray that this morning what we have from Your Word would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that folks would not pay so much attention to what the preacher has to say, but that we would focus on the precious words that You've given us in Your Word, and that You would accomplish Your good will and purpose. We thank You for what You've done already, and we look forward to what You'll yet do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I want to take a few moments and speak on this subject, neglecting our vineyard. Who here would raise their hand, and I don't really want you to do this, but who here would raise their hand this morning and say, "You know, 24 hours in a day is just too much time. I've got too much time on my hands. I am never too busy. I just have, you know, time to sit around and twiddle my thumbs, and there's never anything that brings me to a point where I say, man, I am just running around wishing that I had more time." We are always, it seems like, in a crunch for time. There are always things to do. We have this new term, it's not new anymore, but the term multitasking, you know? We've got to do, you know, it's not enough that we're busy, but we've got to do three or four things at the same time. And so, time obviously is precious to all of us. And it's what we do with that time that makes a difference. And I want you to notice here in Song of Solomon, chapter number 1 and verse number 6, that there's a very vital truth revealed here. We are accountable and responsible for our own vineyard. And if we're not careful, pretty soon the other distractions of this life will begin to intervene and we'll lose our focus and we'll not be taking care of our own vineyard. And of course, we could make the application here, you know, our vineyard is our life, if you will. And so each of us have a responsibility and we're accountable to the Lord to be wise stewards over that which He's entrusted us with. And of course, that would involve our bodies, you know, the temple of the Lord. It would involve our time. It would involve the treasures that He's given us, the money that He's allowed us to use. It all belongs to Him, right? But He's allowed us to keep a certain portion of it. The time that He's given us in a day. And of course, the truth of His Word that we are all stewards of. And so, the question this morning is, how are we doing in tending to our own vineyard? We, I think, and I know from personal experience, can sometimes be guilty of looking at other vineyards and taking care of other areas, and in so doing, we want to be a blessing to others, and oftentimes we do wind up being a blessing to others, but it's at the expense of our own vineyard. We need to be careful that we're not neglecting our vineyard. Now, we're going to approach this verse this morning in a little bit of a different fashion. We're going to begin at the end and work our way back in the verse. And so this morning, I want us to note three warnings from this passage that we see in Song of Solomon chapter number 1 and verse number 6. There's this first warning that we have to be determined, and we have to have a determination not to be diverted. There's this second warning that we find in Song of Solomon chapter number 1 and verse number 6. We have to be careful not to disregard our duties. And then the third warning, that if we neglect the first two warnings, we need to see that we will be distraught over the disgrace that follows. And so notice this first warning in Song of Solomon chapter number 1 and verse number 6. We have to have a determination not to be diverted from keeping our own vineyard. Notice what Solomon writes here in the last part of verse number 1. He says, "My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keepers of the vineyards." So we see here that there is a determination by the enemy to divert us from doing what we ought to be doing. "My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards." Do you know that our enemies, and of course again we primarily have three enemies, we have the enemy of self, and of course we are our own worst enemy, are we not? Our flesh that dwells within us. We oftentimes want to blame others, but it's ourself that causes us the most problems. But then we have the enemy of the world, society, and of course the world is not friendly to the child of God. And then we have that old serpent, the devil, Satan, who is our enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to do anything that he can to divert us from serving the Lord. And so we have to understand that we're going to encounter opposition when we try to keep our own vineyard. Our enemies will always try to find ways to employ us in things other than the work and service of God. The enemy wants us to be so busy that we don't have time to go to church, we don't have time to read our Bibles, we don't have time to spend in prayer, we don't have time to be the stewards over those areas of responsibility that God has entrusted unto us. I want you to think back to how that Pharaoh dealt with Moses and the Egyptians when Moses and Aaron first went in and reported to Pharaoh that God had appeared to them and spoken to them and said, "You are to go into Pharaoh and you're to tell Pharaoh that he's to let you go because you need to go 3 days' journey so that you can sacrifice to me." Now, what was God saying to Moses that he was to say to Pharaoh? "You need to let my people go so they can serve me." And if you recall, what was the response initially of Pharaoh? Let's look at that in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 5 this morning. And when we talk about seeing that our enemy has a determination to divert us and we need to be determined not to be diverted, we need to first of all be advised as to how the enemy operates. Notice Exodus chapter number 5, and we're just going to read the first 9 verses of Exodus chapter number 5 so that we can gain the context of what's taking place here in Exodus chapter number 5. So in Exodus chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" Now that's the response of the world, isn't it? That's the response of society. Society doesn't know the Lord, and they find it a strange thing that we as the Lord's people would want to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. And so Pharaoh says, I don't know the Lord. I'm not going to let you go. And then notice verse 3. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Now watch. Watch the response of Pharaoh. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? You see what he's saying? He's saying, why are you talking to me about serving God? You got work to do. And that's the way the enemy operates. When we begin to think about serving God, we begin to think about doing what God would have us do, the enemy's always there popping things in our mind of what we have to do. Have you ever been in the services on the Lord's Day or on a Friday in the Spring Institute, and you're sitting there and the preaching of the Word's going forth and something pops into your mind and says, hey, you need to clean the house. Hey, you need to get things ready for dinner. Hey, you need to make out the bills. Oh, I forgot to feed the dog. And all these different things pop into your head, and it leads to a trail of things where you're not focusing on the preaching now. You're focusing on what you got to do after you get home. Do you think that that is by coincidence? Do you think that that is just random? Do you not understand that we serve an enemy that we are to understand operates by His wiles, His craftiness, His cunningness? We might have those things happen and say, well, that's just a normal experience, and we don't even think about it. And oftentimes we fall prey to the wiles of the devil because we don't understand that it's the wiles of the devil. Beloved, Pharaoh says, what are you doing coming and talking to me? You got work to do. You don't need to be thinking about serving God. Go back and make some more mortar. Notice verse 5. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof. Now watch. For they be idle. They weren't idle. They were wanting to do the will of God. They were not idle. But the enemy says, hey, they want to serve God. They want to be involved in doing the will of God. We need to get busy. We need to distract them. We need to give them something to take their mind away from serving God. He says they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Do you see what they said, Pharaoh, or what Moses and Aaron's words were? Vain words. And yet they were speaking the Word of God. They were communicating to Pharaoh what God had said to them. We need to be advised, beloved, that whenever we determine that we want to do the will of God in our lives, and it isn't enough just to know the will of God. Plenty of people know the revealed will of God. Plenty of people know that we're to submit to the powers that be, and yet people break the law all the time. I'm talking about Christians, believers. And so just knowing the will of God isn't enough. God is interested in us doing the will of God. And we have a vineyard that He's given us responsibility to tend to. And oftentimes, we're thrown off track because we're busy doing other stuff, and the enemy just keeps heaping more stuff and more stuff and more stuff upon us. We need to be advised that the enemy is determined to divert. But I want us to notice something secondly about the enemy's determination to divert. And bear with me with this, because this might sound a little strange to you. No, I'm not going to preach on Eeyore again, okay? Be careful not to assume that every opportunity that you have to minister is an opportunity from the Lord. Now that might sound strange to you. That might sound strange to you. But do you know that God is sovereign and God meets needs the way that He determines to meet needs? In other words, think about it this way. Did the people of Bithynia in Asia need to hear the Word of God? They absolutely did. Paul wanted to go and preach the Word to them. And he sought to do that. But what did the Lord say? You can't go there. Now, Paul could have, and I'm speaking humanly, right? Paul could have forced that door down and said, there's people there that need my help, and I'm going to sacrifice everything to go and help those people. The only problem with that is that it wasn't God's will that Paul be used in preaching the gospel to those people. God had another purpose for Paul to go into Macedonia. Now, what I'm saying is this. There may be opportunities that we see. And we jump the gun. And we say, well, there's a need here. And surely, it is God's desire that I meet that need. But wait a minute. Have you kept your own vineyard? I'm not talking about being selfish. We talked about being selfless last night in the message when we spoke about Gaius. What I'm saying is this. We oftentimes look at situations where we can be used and we jump full throttle ahead and we don't ever consider how that's going to affect how we keep our own vineyard. Think about it this way. Those of you, and I'm going to speak about this more in depth here in just a moment. Those of you that are wives and mothers, you have a certain sphere of responsibility, don't you? To neglect your sphere of responsibility to be used in another area, I don't believe honors God. In other words, I have a responsibility to my home. I have a responsibility to my husband. I have a responsibility to my children. I'm going to neglect that responsibility so that I can go out here and meet this other need. I don't believe God honors that. I believe He wants us to take care of our own vineyard first and then be used of Him. Notice what the Bible, the book of Nehemiah says as we think about this subject. Now, I just ask you to turn over to the book of Nehemiah chapter number 6 by way of illustration. Nehemiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. In Nehemiah chapter number 6 and verse number 1, and I trust that you understand the setting of what's taking place in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah wants to go back. He has a burden to go back and rebuild the walls. And of course, in so doing, when he first gets the desire and the burden laid upon him from the Lord, the enemy begins to come and work against him and the children of Israel. Now I want you to notice Nehemiah's wisdom in Nehemiah chapter number 6, verses 1 through 3. In Nehemiah 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me." Now watch the way the enemy works. "Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief." So what are they doing? They're saying to Nehemiah, "Hey, let's just get together and talk." Now that isn't really what their desire was, but that's the way they approached Nehemiah. "Let's just get together and talk." What did they want to do? They wanted the work to cease. And they not only wanted the work to cease, but they wanted to do harm to the worker. Notice the wisdom that God gave Nehemiah in verse number 3. "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down.'" Now watch, "Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" Nehemiah is saying, "I've got to focus. I'm doing the work that God has given me. It is not proper use of my time to cease the work that God has given me to come down and meet with you. How many of us would say in the same situation, wow, these guys are enemies of God and enemies of the work, and now they want to meet with us. What's God doing? Maybe God's working in their heart. We should stop what we're doing, drop what we're doing, and run down and accommodate them and meet immediately with them. We would think that way oftentimes. And we don't take the time to step back and seek the face of God and ask God what His will is. God, would You have me to be involved in this? God, how's this going to affect the other responsibilities that You've given me? God doesn't give us duties that cause us to neglect the responsibilities that He's given unto us. And I'll say more about that here in just a moment. We need to be careful. We need to be advised as to how the enemy operates in his determination to divert. And we need to be careful not to assume that something is an opportunity to minister from God when He might not want us to be involved in that. We need to seek the face of God. So the first warning we see. But then notice the second warning. There's a second warning in Song of Solomon, chapter number 1 and verse number 6. And that second warning involves us potentially disregarding our duty. Notice in the last portion of Song of Solomon, chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Notice that last portion says, "But mine own vineyard have I not kept." Now, I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. I believe that every word is there for a purpose. It's not there haphazardly. It's not just the thought that counts, but it's the way that it's worded. And notice that we have recorded for us in the Word of God this phrase, "But mine own vineyard have I not kept." Obviously, there is some feeling of failure, if you will, on the part of the Shunammite in verse number 6. Otherwise, why else would that be included? "But mine own vineyard have I not kept. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." We need to be careful that in the midst of wanting to be used of God, in the midst of wanting to be available to minister to others, we're not disregarding our duty. We're not failing to keep our own vineyard. So, specifically, what am I referring to when I'm talking about our own vineyard? Well, first of all, God's people can be guilty of disregarding our duty as it relates to our faith. And I'm not talking about us, ginning up within ourselves faith. Faith is a gift of God. God is the author of that. And He imparts unto us believing and saving faith. And after He saves us, He expects us to serve Him. And we call that serving faith. And so, how is it that we serve the Lord? We serve the Lord by tending to, first of all, those spiritual disciplines. And again, this is not anything new, but I believe it's important for us to understand. Our prayer life, our time with the Lord. The Lord not only speaking to us through the Scriptures, but us speaking to the Lord in prayer. I think sometimes we have this attitude that, I'm busy right now. I don't have time to spend in prayer. I don't have time to read the Word of God. I'll get to it later. And we have this idea that our meetings with the Lord are pretty much at our whim and our desire. It's kind of like, what Samson thought. Samson thought he could just get up and shake himself off and have the power and the Spirit of God prevalent in his life. Do you know that the Lord will speak to you by His Spirit concerning fellowship with Him? You say, I need to spend some time in prayer. I feel like I need to get alone with the Lord. Well, where does that thought come from? Is that a coincidence? Is it just us because we're good Christians that we say, I need to spend some... Beloved, the Lord speaks to us. And He calls us apart. And I submit to you that oftentimes when we're busy keeping other vineyards and we neglect our own vineyard, that our fellowship with the Lord will not be what it should be. Notice in Song of Solomon chapter number 5. Song of Solomon chapter number 5, I want to read some verses here that I think illustrate this point concerning fellowship with the Lord, that it's really not at our bidding, it's at the Lord's bidding. The Lord initiates prayer, the Lord speaks to our heart and directs us to His Word, and we need to be sensitive to that. We need to be having an attitude that we're not too busy to fellowship with the Lord when He wants to fellowship with us. Now watch Song of Solomon chapter 5, verses 1 through, we'll read down through verse number 8. Song of Solomon chapter number 5, verse 1. I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Now watch. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Jesus is initiating fellowship with the believer. He's knocking on the door. We don't misapply the Scriptures and say, oh, the Lord knocks on the heart of the door of the heart of the unbeliever, and the unbeliever has to open his heart. We know that that's not talking about salvation. It's talking about fellowship and communion. And He says, open unto me. It is the voice of my beloved. And then notice the response in verse 3. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? What's the beloved saying? Oh, I'm ready for bed. I got other things to tend to. This is not the right time to fellowship with my beloved. And then, notice, she comes to her senses. In verse 4, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. I think what we have recorded for us here is a warning. To be careful that we not say, well, you know, I'll just read the Bible whenever I get around to reading the Bible. I'll just spend time in prayer and fellowship with the Lord after all the other things are done and accomplished, and I've got some free time. The Lord says, seek me first and my kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto us. We sometimes are guilty of being so busy in keeping other vineyards that we neglect our own vineyard, the vineyard of faith. William Wilberforce said, of all things, guard against neglecting God in the secret place of prayer. We need to be careful that we're not disregarding our duty as it relates to our faith. And very practical this morning, but intentionally so. We need to be careful that we're not disregarding our duty in the area of our family. And I mentioned this just a little while ago. Guys, we are achievement driven, aren't we? That's kind of the way we're wired up, you know? We want to go from task to task and conquer and go on to the next thing, and then we want to sit down and we want to, you know, fold our arms and say, wow, look at everything I've got accomplished. That's the way the natural man's wired up. We're wired to be that way. You know what can happen if we're not careful? We could say, well, I have a responsibility to provide for my family, which we do, right? I mean, any man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel, the Bible says. And so we have a responsibility to provide for our family, but what we can do is we can take it a little too far. We can say, oh, well, you know, I have this responsibility on my job, you know, and I'm the guy in charge, and I got to be on call at all times. And after all, I'm providing for my family. And so pretty soon what begins to happen is we begin to rack up the hours on the job. We begin to neglect our family because we're tending to another vineyard. It's right to provide for our family, but we don't need to pride ourselves on the number of hours we work. Some guys, you know, and I remember this when I was in the military, man, I put in 80 hours this week. You know, it's a badge of honor. And nothing wrong with, in fact, I wholeheartedly agree with what was said yesterday. We were created for work. But to neglect our family for our careers and for our work is to be guilty of not keeping our own vineyard. You know what? I would imagine that everybody here has got a lot of stuff. We talked about that yesterday. Don't neglect your family so you can accumulate more stuff. I've got to work this overtime so we can afford the newest tech gadget. You'll be fine without the tech gadget. Tend to your family. Husbands, love your wives. Wives are also to love their husbands. The marriage is to have a priority. And of course, in the parenting, we also ought to see that as well. How sad it is that we see in our society today the breakup of the family. And I believe that's intentional by the enemy. And husbands have, for a large part, neglected their duty as fathers. And we see in society as a whole, mothers and wives have neglected their duties. And they're out in the workforce, striving for the career and the self-fulfillment that can only come by doing what God wants you to do. And I'll tell you what, I'm about ready to get angry with some of these folks, you know, that say that being a stay-at-home mom, oh, she's just a stay-at-home mom. She doesn't know how to work. She's a stay-at-home mom. I'll tell you what, man, that gets my dander fired up. There is no greater responsibility for a woman than to be the wife and the mother that God wants her to be. Ladies, that is your highest calling. So to say, well, I got this opportunity to minister, but it's going to cause me to neglect my family. I don't think that's of God. I think we need to be careful that we're not neglecting our vineyard. Walt Disney. See, here you go. I preached on Eeyore. Now I have to quote Walt Disney, right? Walt Disney said a man should never neglect his family for business. And it's true, beloved. And that's hard for us. Now I'm about to get on some sacred ground here and talk about disregarding our duty. You know, as preachers, we kind of like to pick the low-hanging fruit, and we sometimes avoid those things that can be controversial, right? How about this area of duty that we have? We talk about faith, family. How about fitness? Well, man, this guy's preached on Walt Disney and Winnie the Pooh, and now he's going to talk about fitness? Yeah, I'm going to talk about fitness. I'm going to talk about taking care of the vessel that God has given you. You only have one vessel. I'm not talking about, you know, doing the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, you know, where you're stuck on yourself and you want to build up huge muscles and look at your... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a wise steward over the vessel that God has given you. You can't serve God if your vessel isn't working. Right? And God, we know that there are health issues that are appointed by God. And it isn't because somebody sinned. It isn't because they were unhealthy. This is the good will of God. But you know, there are other things that are brought about because we neglect our vessel. And we get so busy in doing everything under the sun that we fail to take care of the body that God has given us. You can't rightly and properly serve God unless you're taking care of the vessel that He's given you. That's not popular preaching. We don't like to talk about it, but it's true. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, if you're bought with the price, you are bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And here's the clincher, which are God's. Our body belongs to God. Therefore, we ought to take care of our body. We ought to give it the proper amount of rest that it needs. We ought to feed it properly. We ought to take care of it so that we can be proper stewards of what God would have us to do. Fitness. We are oftentimes so busy. We have breakdowns because we don't have time to take care of our body. We're not keeping our own vineyard. It's very practical. And then how about this? Disregarding our duty in the area of our field. Brother Chris said the other night, I believe it was Brother Chris, it might have been Brother Wayne, said, you know, you meet people that I'll never meet. You have contacts that I'll never come in contact with. Your field is your field. I have people that I will run into on a daily basis. I talk to people in Afghanistan and all over the place, and sometimes get the opportunity to talk to them about the Lord in my secular job. I have a field that you will never have. You have a field that I will never have. I can't say, you know, I'm busy, I'm going to neglect my field, Brother Cecil will take care of my field. It's not Brother Cecil's field to take care of. It's my field. God has given me that field. And oftentimes, we are looking at someone else's field, and we want to minister in someone else's field, and we're guilty of keeping their vineyard, but we're not keeping our own vineyard. We're not keeping our own field. You know what will happen if we don't tend to the field? It'll become overgrown. And people will see that. Hey, how are you doing with your own field? Your family, your friends, your contacts that you meet on a daily basis in the marketplace, your neighbors. How is your field neglected? You know the sign of a neglected field, right? In Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 32, the Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You know, maybe there'd be some new technology. I'm being foolish right now, you understand. There'd be some new technology where we could put these glasses on. Kind of like a 3D movie, right? We put these glasses on and everybody looks at our field and says, wow, he's tending to his field. He's a perfect husband. He's a great father. He's an excellent church member. He's taking care of his field. And we put those glasses on. And we see the field is all grown over with thorns and nettles. It looks good on the outside, but we've neglected our field. Preachers have to be careful about this, don't we? How we want to serve God and pour our hearts and souls into the ministry. And yet, we've got families. We've got fields that God wants us to tend to. It isn't wrong to preach the gospel and minister. Of course it's not. But we need to be careful that we're not neglecting our own vineyard. That second warning says we need to be careful about disregarding our duty. And then very quickly here, the third warning in Song of Solomon chapter number 1 and verse number 6. We see it in the first part of this verse. Notice here the Shunammite says in verse number 6, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Consider the end of neglecting our vineyard. The Shunammite was black because she was out in the sun for a prolonged period. She was forced to stay out and abused and do the work that others were supposed to be doing. And she senses the humiliation and the disgrace that came about from that. She says, look not upon me because I'm black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Oh, how we as the children of the Lord should be careful to consider the end of things. We don't often consider the end of things, do we? We look at something and say, oh, it's just such a small thing. It's harmless. And yet James wrote about that problem with sin. How that we're enticed and it's just a small little thing. And yet at the end, what happens? Ben Franklin said, a little neglect may breed great mischief. We might look at something and say, well, you know, this isn't going to hurt. I'm going to have to neglect my vineyard in this area for a little bit, but it's not going to hurt anything. And a little neglect may breed great mischief. We don't know how it's going to turn out. Would it not be better that we said, you know what, I want to lead a life that is sacrificial and selfless unto the Lord. I want to be used of the Lord. I want to minister to others. God, show me those opportunities and give me wisdom to know when I should be involved and when I shouldn't. Give me wisdom to know what I should involve myself in and what I shouldn't. Lord, help me to be a blessing to others, but help me to be careful to keep my own vineyard, that it not be grown over with thorns and nettles. I'm convicted by this. I'm convicted by the Scripture that speaks about us keeping our own vineyard. There are some warnings here given to us. We see that the enemy is determined to divert us. We have to be careful not to disregard our duty, and we have to look to the end. We need to see that we can become distraught over the disgrace that comes if we fail to keep our own vineyard. Brother Wayne.